Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 209. My special, special, special guest tonight, Earl Bowman.
Circles, I'm chasing a high I knew I'd never find. That's right, looking crazy. My doctor says so too. I take my medication, and mostly that stays true. Is that just me? Is that just me? Yeah. I used to find it funny, but it don't make me laugh. Yeah. something. I'm so stoned.
Thanks for having us on, Neil. It's like I tell you every week, I always love getting to come here on Mondays, even though I do it after work. And it's a big deal to be part of your podcast. And to I know you squeezed me in to do this. We did a podcast very, very recently, you could say, and we squeezed this one in because I needed some footage and you were kind enough to let us in. So thank you.
I had enough time to change shirts. We're all good. That's all that really matters.
I know. I realized that I forgot to tell you to change shirts.
Well, I figured I was starting to probably stink. I was like, all right, it's time to change. I need to change. This is getting ridiculous. Dude, it's seriously, seriously my pleasure. You've been nothing but a blessing to not only me, but the podcast, to Spencer, probably most people that know you. But when I tell you it is literally the least I could do, it literally is also, well, I mean, it's the most I can do too, because I can't pay you or anything. But it's just, you've earned every second that you are in here recording anything ever. This is not a favor. I wouldn't have you in here if I didn't think you were good. I met you because you came in here and then we did the songwriting thing. So by no means is it a favor or squeezing in or anything. It's always going to be my privilege and my honor to have you in, not only you, but Spencer and Tom and Jason.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Awesome little set. I always enjoy Earl Bowman set, regardless of what setting, but this setting was it's always cool, but it was even better to see you guys in this setting.
Yeah, I was excited to come down here and play. I was interested to see how it would feel to, because I'm always on that side of the desk, and so yeah. The only time I've ever been on this side was by myself, so it was cool to...
How did it feel?
It was fun.
Was it comfortable?
It was comfortable. I mean, I like playing with these guys. Like, we practiced this week for this, so we even kind of pared down Tom's kit, his already small kit, to match the kit that you have. So
let's say Tom doesn't have a huge kit by any means.
No.
Probably got a bigger guitar, more gear than drums at this point, I'm sure. Well, you do everything though, Tom, don't you?
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Yeah, have many projects, many fun. I'm sure we'll get into here in a little bit. But Earl, why don't you go ahead, since... You know, you're bringing back this time. Last time was a solo thing. It was pretty easy.
Yeah, Studio A. It was different experience for sure. I filled in that day, and then I filled in as co-host. And now I'm just here. So it's weird the way the world works.
But you just got stuck as co-host. That's what happened. roped in. So introduce the podcast.
Yeah, well, I'll start
with everybody
and the person that everyone that listens to the podcast would know, Spencer.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, I met Spencer at Mom's Music a while back. Mm-hmm. He did some work on a guitar for me, and then I walked in to do that episode that I filled in for as a guest, and Spencer was there, and I was like, holy shit, I know you. Why are you here? And then I needed a guitar player for my band, and Spencer asked for a while, and I finally heard him play. I didn't want to tell him yes or no until I heard him play. And
yeah, of course.
You can't.
I just waited.
Smart
and
move.
I finally got a chance to hear him play. And as soon as I heard him, I went over to his house. As soon as we started, I'm like, you're in the band, man. So it's great to have him.
Thank you.
Funny thing, it just, you know, one of those things, you just meet somebody. Here to my right is Tom. Tom plays drums for me. I met Tom like through open mics. Katie did it, who we talk about a lot on this podcast, through her open mics, and we became friends. And we even jammed a little bit on a few times at open mic just on guitar. And then I saw Tom post a video of him playing drums, just like very simple little setup. And I was like, oh, I need a drummer. And I don't know how many times I asked Tom to play drums before finally he's like, yeah, we can jam together. And that was, I mean, over a year ago, maybe.
So
he's been, it was just the two of us for a while, hanging out at his house, just working through a few songs. And then on the other side there of Tom is Jason. And
hi.
I've met Jason again through like the open mics and whatnot. Same ones that Katie did at open mics. And then I saw Jason again at the first Monarch, like open mic thing. He played a set with his wife, and it was phenomenal. And it was cool to see Jason again. And then not too long after that, he posted that he got a bass, and he's like, does anyone need someone on the bass? He's like, I just got this. And I was like, well, I just saw him play guitar, and I feel like he could hold down what I'm doing. And so I hit him up, and then it was the three of us for for a while. We did a handful of shows, just the three of us, which were very different than now that we have Spencer. I definitely like having a four-piece better. But I feel like I found... I feel like when you are looking for a band, ideally you want the best musicians you can find that are also the best people you can find. And I feel like I have definitely gotten a good combination of that. And so that's what means most to me. These are people I want to hang out with and I have fun at band practice. It's not like the army. It's not like we get on each other. We just like play and have fun. I always say that's what I want. Like, so even if you fuck something up, like if Spencer fucks something up, he is a little hard on himself, but you just play through it. Like, it's better to just keep on going and keep trucking than it is to worry about a mistake. And we definitely, everyone makes mistakes. We just are on our live show. We just try to have fun. And that's my main thing, at least.
No wonder Spencer likes being in your band. Every time he messes up in my band, we make him put down his guitar and run three sprints back to back, just like the old football days, man. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. That's not how you do it.
No, yeah. We try to make Spencer have more fun. Like the other day, I was begging him to just move his feet. I'm like, just move your feet, man. He's standing like a statue.
That is true.
No wonder he looks so happy to be sitting down over there.
I'm very happy that we're sitting down.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, see, but instead it's the opposite, but with my feet.
Okay.
I just don't know what to do with my feet, so they just stay put. They don't go anywhere.
Those boots ain't light. Number one.
I mean, they're not heavy though.
That's why I always wore like Chucks or running shoes, so I could. I never did it. I just could shuffle if I needed to. You know what I mean? Anyway, so you've been spending a little bit of time other than in this studio and the other studio in actual real deal recording studios, La La Land. You've been down at
the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg as well.
Tell you what, between the Mountain Arts Preston, Mountain Arts Center and Star Wars, we have a real through line between the last two podcasts, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about that a lot. So tell us about the experience down there recording.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I've mentioned it a couple times as host how it was just a great experience to go and meet new producers. I love working with Anne here at La La Land. She's great. But after I worked with Anne once, I kind of just wanted to venture out and just see what other producers were like and just get to know them. And my original idea was I was going to go and do four songs, like an EP at four different studios just to meet some producers. But at that point, when I was planning all this, I didn't have like a full live band or anything. And I was like, I'm going to hire people to come play. And the cost was going to be just crazy to go to four studios to do four songs. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a cool idea. And if I had unlimited money,
Rich
I think it would have been,
idea,
yeah, yeah. It's that. Been cool to do like a project with four, like totally kind of different sounds from four studios. I thought would be cool, but that wasn't happening. And so I ended up picking the first person I wanted to work with. And I was going to do two songs with this guy, Brennan Meek in Prestonsburg. And I was going to do two songs with Ann at home with the live band, these guys. And I went out and met Brennan and I had such a great experience with him. Like instantly I'm like, this is a dude I enjoy working with. He was just very easygoing. He played drums for me at, he gave me an unbeatable deal to play drums, for me on that. And we were going to do two songs when I went down there, like I said, and we ended up doing three because we had tons of time and we got them like all the way pretty much knocked out. And he's like, if you ever have more tunes, like come back, like working with you. And I was like, I do have some more tunes. Like, why don't we just do an album? And so we're working on an 8-song album. I ended up doing 7 songs with Brendan and a hired band. And then I ended up just doing 1 song with Ann here with these guys. And I felt it was one of the tunes we did tonight, a song called So Stoned. Nice. And I felt like, yeah, it came out great. It was cool working with them. I get to play with them all the time. And so it was cool to get in the studio and experience that as a band. But it was really cool to hire some people. I got to work with some people over the last couple years of doing music that I really wanted to work with. Oliver Sayani, who I know has been on here, plays on some tunes. Cody Lee Meese, who's considered by most the best guitar player around, plays on a lot of the tracks too.
He's ridiculous.
Have Logan Henry on the pedal steel and whatnot. Logan sat in a couple times on some shows with us too. It was cool. I worked with some great people. Emily Jamerson, who was just on, mentioned Magnolia Boulevard a few times. Their old bass player, Chris Justice, plays on a few songs too. It was a great group of people. It was cool to do that and just like see studio musicians in the studio. It's kind of a crazy thing to like just see them work. It's their professional musician in the studio is something very different than like a live thing. It's
so cool. When you went down with the song, and you hadn't, you know, you had no real, you hadn't secured studio musicians yet, and he starts putting this together for you. Do they build the song around, I mean, are you there going, here's what I'm hearing, here's what I want, here's what I'm thinking?
So here, basically, I hit him up on, like, through Instagram, actually. I think I messaged him, and he said, yeah, let's do some songs. And then, like I said, we ended up going down there, and I had people in mind. So I already knew the guitar players I wanted and the pedal steel player I wanted. And I sent him some simple demos and kind of told him the instrumentation I wanted. And he found the bass player for us. And then, like I said, he plays drums. But the other people we hired out were people that I had already talked to and planned. And the same way with, like, backing singers that Tyler Lance Walker Gills were going to the studio with me in a couple weeks to do some backing vocals, and Gina from Sweet G and the Shine singing on stuff. And I think Scott T. Smith might sing on a couple tunes too. That's what's been cool about this project compared to my EP. Because when I went and worked with Ann the first time, I'd mentioned to Ann how much I love Tyler Lance's record. And so she just hired his band. And so my EP is his live band, and it is super cool. And it was great working with those guys. I think Tyler's band's one of the most electric bands in the whole city. But this time there was people that I've met over the last couple years of just going out and networking and meeting people and going to shows that I wanted to work with. And so it was cool to reach out to them and them say yes. Like, I'm a big fan of Cody Lee Meese. And so to have him come play on my record was really just a little surreal, because I met him at a festival. I've talked about it on here before. And this performance he put on at this festival, like, blew me away. And then we kind of become buddies. And that's what's cool about doing music at any level. The chances of you being, like, really famous is, like, almost nothing. Like, but the chances of you doing cool shit is, like, 100% if you go and just meet people and talk to people. And a goal of mine, way before I ever decided to do music, I just wanted to sing a song on a stage with a band one time in my life, like, just to cover anything. And now I have a band of, like I said, great people and really good musicians that I get to hang out with, and we get to work on these songs together and make it something different than what the studio stuff is like. That's what's fun too. This is, like, I am pretty easygoing. And when we first got together, I said I had recorded stuff, but I said, you don't have to play it like it's on the record. I'm like, just play it how we play it. And that's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool, because our live show is, I think, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. It totally is. It's a good time. So I guess this will be you guys all on the couch at least met at an open mic, which means you're there doing original stuff. You're writers. You do some, you mentioned looking for working with a bunch of producers. When you are trying to write something, what are you looking for? Like, what is, because I really, this is also like a question to myself that I don't have an answer to. So it's a real question. What are you looking for when, you know, in an idea, if you have a finished product, you want to record it and you yourself don't want to record it? What is it that you're looking for from a producer?
I mean, I'm looking for someone just to, like, bring what I think is a small idea to life. I feel like when you work with someone like Ann or Brennan, they're like helping, like, pick tones of guitars. They're in some cases, like, helping build the bands that, like, Ann had, like, specific ideas when I first sent her some demos that she's like, oh, I kind of know this is what it reminds me of or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could produce some stuff and, like, it'd be okay, but I feel like music is collaborative. That's what's cool about working with people or working with producers, is they come in with other ideas and, like, stuff that you would never think of. And when you hear it, you go, oh shit, like, that's very dope. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's cool to produce your own stuff. I've mentioned as a host on here, like, I really admire people who can go and produce their own stuff. And I've made some demos and stuff where I've played all the instruments. But ultimately I need help. And I feel like that's what producers are for. Like, when I listen to records and there's artists I like, I know the producers on a lot of the records that I like. And I, like, there's people like, even big producers who, like, make Olivia Rodrigo stuff. This dude, there's this other artist he works with named Chapel Rowan, who I think is amazing. And to me, it's the producer helps build those sounds. That's what they do. I think is just, they help really hone in a sound. If you have a big live band and you have I think you might not need a producer, but, like, we're a little band. Like, we're a 4-piece band. I mean, on these records, we got keys, we have pedal steel guitar, like, we got extra backing singers. I feel like producers help just, like, kind of rein your ideas in, if more than anything. Like, I think it's good to have someone to maybe help point you in the right direction, because sometimes your ideas do need to be reined in just a little bit, depending on the sound you're going for. And yeah. sometimes on second listen, you go, I'm glad that I listened to that idea.
Yeah. Tom, what about you?
Like looking at producer, I feel like everything Earl said makes a lot of sense to me. For like my own stuff, I tend to have like a really particular vision. So I just want someone that'll like facilitate with the technical know-how. So I'm not, because I've like produced stuff myself before and it's a pain in the ass. And, you know, everything takes like 10 times as long. So I just want someone who can kind of, you know, make everything real easy, you know, make it real comfortable sitting yeah. there.
And I would say, maybe I'm wrong on this, Tom, but like you and like Tom's band, it's called Molly's Midnight Villains. They're a great little folk duo, but you all do have a very specific sound and know what you're going for. And so when you go to the studio, you're really more than anything hiring an engineer who's going to help get the actual a quality recording of what you have in your head. In my instance, I don't always have like an exact idea. I have some ideas and then they need to be fleshed out a little bit. I'm like, I know I want electric piano or whatever, but like, what is the, maybe we're going to go something grit. Like they help get like the grit in there or whatever you're going for. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're totally right there.
Yeah. What about you, Jason?
Well, I pretty much know what I'm looking for, you know, when I'm going to record stuff, you know, the sound that I want. But I mean, to work with a producer, you want somebody that's going to hear what you're trying to do, you know what I'm saying, and know how to get it there, you know what I'm saying, and know, you know.
Okay.
That's a great way to put it.
That's a perfect way to put it.
That was a very,
because you're trying for something, you know, and they can hear that, you know what I'm saying. A good producer can hear that, like, oh, I hear what you're trying to do, and they know how to make it.
Huh. Damn, that's probably the easiest and best sentence.
I was going to say, Jason summed up what I was trying to say in a very long-winded way with just one sentence.
That proves that he was destined to be a bass player. That was such a bass playing statement. It was so simple and to the point and absolutely easy. All right, Spencer. So, you know, man, you're kind of new to this side of it. You know, you're getting on my end of it where you're helping with the setup of recording and doing those things and seeing a lot of recording and mic placement and this and that and going for sounds. Where are you at on what should you be doing to stay out of the way? What you should do to facilitate on your end, on our end, what you're looking for also on your end as a guitar player, as a production?
Well,
that was a lot. Sorry.
It's all right. To answer your first question about
1A.
About kind of staying out of the way, at least working with the podcast, it's been definitely a really, really awesome learning tool. Because one thing that I just really haven't been around a lot of studios or a lot of studio musicians that, you know, like Cody or, you know, stuff like that before this podcast. And so it's really taught me how to really, the easier that you can make it is normally the better way to do it.
Yeah.
And that even goes with playing. And
look at this young wizard.
I mean it does, because that's one of the things that I'm practicing right now is, you know, it's awesome to sit there and shred and to just noodle around. But whenever you listen to songs that have stood the test of time, and living legends like Chris Stapleton and Alicia Keys, like a lot of the stuff that they do, their melody lines and their solos and stuff, all of that is, it's a very basic, simple melody line, but it works with the song. It works for that song in particular. So really being around all of these musicians and working in this studio, it's really taught me that there is a time and a place to noodle. And there's a time and a place to do the fast run, but most of the time to the listener, it's going to sound 10 times more complicated if you play something simple rather than something complex.
You know what? I'm really glad that you said that, because that totally makes sense. There's a lot of times I'm definitely guilty of it. And all of you, I think, Spencer, you write. You're in the middle of writing mm-hmm. a song that you sent last night. Everybody writes here. So there is sometimes where you make it too complicated.
Yeah.
You definitely, and then you listen to some genius song. I mean, like genius. We just had a Emily Jamerson in here who has some really, really good tunes, well-written, beautiful tunes. And melodically, they're so catchy. On the instrument, they're super simple. There's nothing, it's not this crazy performance playing a, it's just down to the basics, but it's so, so good. So what is it about, like, as performers or songwriters, musicians in general, that sometimes you feel like you need all this stuff to glitz it up and do all these things, when sometimes you're right, man, just be real simple. Play what's supposed to be played. Get out of the way of what's not supposed to be played. Earl saying you got all this stuff and sometimes you want to throw it in the mix, but if you can just have somebody that goes, yeah, that's good, but not right there. How about this little bit right here, and it comes up in volume right here, this pitch gets back out of the mix, and it's just, you barely know it's there, but it makes the whole thing. There's something to be learned about that. Something to be said about just sometimes you got to slow it down.
Yeah. I mean, I try to, most of what I do is pretty simple. Like, it's a couple chords. I don't try to be groundbreaking when I write a new song. I just write whatever I feel like I need to say at that moment. And it doesn't, if I feel like if it gets overcomplicated, I've throw it in the trash. It needs to be pretty simple. Like all the songs I did today, or mm-hmm. any songs you really hear me sing, they're not really complicated in any way.
They're catchy as hell though. That's the thing.
They're just about like what I'm thinking about. It's mm-hmm. not always, I don't think it has to be groundbreaking. I just try to have a melody that I like and words that fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes you can, if you can allow yourself to be, I'm going to be real smart on this song. I'm going to do all this smart shit, you know, and write this amazing chord progression. And it's just like, dude, shut up and write how you're feeling and relax and have a good, I don't know, dude.
Well,
I might be having a midlife crisis.
I mean, I just... I'm just now starting to do like songwriting and stuff like that, and being able to be in Earl's band has really allowed me to understand, if you do write something simple, guess what? It's a lot more fun to play it, especially with other people, because other people can get it too. Yeah. And it's like, it's not this crazy walking around, you know, thing or song. And, you know, there are some people out there that can listen to an incredibly complex song and just play it.
But I also meant more than anything this. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think that whole thing came out correctly. I meant more like you can play two chords and write something unbelievably crazy.
Yes.
Because if you write cool shit and you write good lyrics and you write, that's what I meant. You can play two freaking chords and just have something cool. So yeah, it's not, that's more than anything what I was trying to translate. I don't know what I was talking about. All right, I'm having a breakdown, man. This solo hosting stuff is different, man. I'm not used to seeing you. I'm used to going, what, Earl? Anyway.
No, I like being over here. The couch is more comfortable.
It looks pretty comfortable. So what do you guys got coming up right now? I know that you got, aren't you doing some festivals and stuff coming up in this next little bit?
Yeah, well, I'm playing Fuzzy Pig Festival. I'm trying to get them to let us do the whole band. I booked it as acoustic thing forever ago, and I'm trying to, they said I could bring a guitar player for sure, but I'm like, is there any way like we can just do full band thing? They're supposed to get back to me. So we have that. What else? I mean, we have a few things coming up.
There's a March show with Nick Teal.
Yeah, we're playing, yeah.
DLP.
Yeah. Single release.
Yeah, you can tell them about that, because you're only playing too.
Yeah, I'm doing double duty on that, because I'm doing drums with Earl, and my other band, Molly's Midnight Villains, will also be playing. And it's a single release for Nick Teal, who's a buddy of ours.
Teal the Peel, man. He's been in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing. Just incredible songwriter and singer.
And the sweetest man.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Just a sweetheart.
And that's March 15th at the, was it Limerick Lounge?
Yeah, Limerick Lounge. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a cool spot. I haven't got to do really many house shows, so that'll be fun.
You're going to be already past the Monarch gig by the time
we will already be past the Monarch gig. But yeah, Spencer and I will be playing as a duo for the Monarch. But we're like, by the time this comes out, like, besides that show with Nick Teal, we're playing another Honky Tonk Tuesday with Tyler Lance Walker Gill.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, March 23rd, I believe it is. So we get to do that again. So we did that before as a trio. So it'll be nice to have. I feel like trio stuff was a full, this feels like a full band now to me. The trio stuff was fine. I'm not the best guitar player, so I always felt a little naked up there just strumming. So to have Spencer on, it makes me feel a lot better to just strum along. It gives me freedom to move around and not feel like I'm trapped.
Yeah, trios are tough, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trios are tough. Even if you play the lead, it's not the easiest thing.
Also, can I just say thank you to all you guys for giving me the chance to come and play with you guys and then accepting me into the band, because I know, you all did just kind of just like, hey, we'll give him a shot. Let's see what happens. So I just wanted to say thank you.
So Spencer, I've been watching.
Yeah,
I just want to say thank you for accepting me into the band.
I do.
We're glad to have you, Spencer.
Yeah. Well,
he's the best. He knows it. He's just always just nice about everything.
Try to be.
And when he went to say, you guys are lucky to have me. Yeah. I mean, no.
No.
He is. He's my humble guy, and I'm glad that he is, because most people that play guitar like you wouldn't be. They'd be like, I mean... Yeah. So I should ask the three questions.
Yeah, you can.
No, I really can't. I want to go to Tom. Let's talk about a little bit about Molly's Midnight Villains. Tell me the origin of that. How long have y'all been rolling?
We've been playing together for like 6 years. It started out, I was just joining Molly occasionally. She was doing like long sets of covers. And then we started writing together. So it very gradually evolved into what it is now. Initially, we were just writing songs about kind of whatever, and it sort of morphed into sort of, sort of dark folk about witchcraft and mythology and stuff like that. So, yeah, we have like a more cohesive sound now than when we started out. We put out an album last year in October, The Witch Folk Codex. I'm really happy with how that came out. We went down to Sneak Attack in Lexington to record it. And it was a lot of fun.
We got to check that out. That sounds awesome. And, you know, Nick Teal is writes so cool. Mm-hmm. Between Molly Midnight Villains, mm-hmm. Nick Teal, and Earl, that's going to be a killer show.
It's going to be a great show. I'm really stoked. I love getting to do shows with Nick. When I first started, I did a lot more stuff with Nick. But we don't do as many things together as we used to.
Busy.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when I'm booking shows, I end up having to pitch it as like a country night to try to get him to like do it. And Nick doesn't quite fit that. Yeah. I don't know what he fits, really.
He doesn't quite fit anything.
But anytime there's an opportunity to play with Nick, I always jump right on it. I don't think I've ever told him no when he's reached out to me. And I think I might be doing a show with him and Kyle Zorns like in at some point too in Lexington. But yeah, I love Nick. He's a good dude. I say Jason has it, like I mentioned too, has a little band too. I don't know what he has coming up.
Magnolia Road is the name of our band.
Magnolia Road. Do you play guitar in that?
Yeah, I play guitar and I write songs and stuff. And my wife sings. And
they have some killer harmonies.
Stand up bass player. Yeah.
Ooh, stand up bass player too.
Yeah, he plays harmonica too.
At the same time.
Guitar. Yeah, bass and harmonica at the same time. Yeah. He plays guitar. You know, I'll play the stand up when we sing his songs. So we're kind of back and forth. Dude. Switch around instruments on that. It's been a lot of fun.
Man of many talents.
Yeah. We don't have anything booked right now. We just played a show at Watch Hill Proper last Tuesday.
Oh, sweet. Right on. I have to keep an eye out for that. Magnolia Road.
Magnolia Road.
Road.
R-O-A-D. Road. Yeah.
Right on, man. Spencer, do you have any other... How many bands are you in now?
Just two.
Oh, okay.
But... I am in Johnstone. Yeah, so,
we're not podcasting, so don't worry about it.
Not yet, but no, we will eventually.
I'll sit you guys on that couch and talk to y'all. I ain't doing it, man.
I know, but that we'll have to get Brad and we'll get Earl, and then they could ask us the questions.
No, that's scary. I can't be doing that stuff. Anyway, I guess, you know, before we get out of here, I think we're good, right? How deep are we? We're like 40 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like we've been sitting here a while.
Feels like we've been doing it for
feels like fucking forever. I'll tell you what.
36 minutes.
Oh, yeah, with the songs, we'll be at an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to do on your own, man.
Yeah.
It really is. You're like my little comfort blanket.
Little support co-host. Support host.
Do I need to come over to that side for the rest of the podcast?
Oh, man, we're good. All right, so I will ask, I'm skipping question one. No, I like question one. I don't like question two. I don't like the gig question. But I will ask, anything outside of music that you do?
Paint, draw, do art. Yeah, I don't know.
You draw?
Yeah.
No kidding. So you got visual stuff, art too?
Yeah.
That's
where I started, really. You know,
artist first.
Yeah.
Visual art. What's your favorite?
Started writing poetry, then I got into music and stuff.
Okay. What's your favorite visual art like medium? What do you use the most?
I use oil pastels anymore. I like oil paints, but they're so messy, man. So I just use the oil pastels. It's almost kind of like painting, but it's, you know, it's a lot easier to clean up.
what type of subject matter?
Whatever comes. Yeah.
Huh. See, I love visual art, man. Visual art's awesome. All right, Tom, something cool, anything?
Yeah, I do a little bit of writing, not much these days, but I used to do a lot more. There was a while where I was pursuing it more seriously. I published like a small handful of short stories.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a lot of
work. Where can those
work.
Be found?
That's like a sword and sorcery magazine, like an online zine.
Oh, that's cool. You ought to share that.
I'm not even sure I could find it now, but I'll take a look for it.
Yeah, you gotta look, man. If you can find it, you gotta.
I don't know that stuff's very good or not.
Who cares?
It got out there.
Be cool.
But yeah, I used to write a lot. I still occasionally do it, but now most of the time, if I'm writing, I'm focused more on lyric writing and poetry, that sort of thing.
That's cool. That is cool. I'm skipping you, Earl. What about you, Spencer?
I'm a luthier.
You mentioned that all the time.
I'm trying to think about something different.
Something.
Oh, I love
road rage. Does that count?
I do have pretty bad road rage.
Does that count?
I don't ever do anything, but just scream in my car.
It's crazy.
But I am obsessed with pirates. I love pirates.
All right. That's good.
Like,
that's a good fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fact. He's got all the Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Yes, I have every single
Caribbean
one. I say Caribbean because I'm Kentucky. But, and two, I think it just sounds better. Like, it's just better ring, you know?
Don't you have a...
I do. I didn't wear it today.
What?
I have to clean it tonight because I'm going to Key West, which is...
Oh, to be a pirate.
Yes, to be a pirate for a week. Nice. And see ZZ Top.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Right on.
And it'll be my birthday. I'll be turning 23. So.
Happy birthday, young man.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Enjoy it down there in the West.
I'll try.
All right, Earl. So something, and it cannot be, I smoke a lot of weed. That cannot be your answer.
That was going to be his answer.
That was.
Sure, that's what the answer
It was going to be. Something, I could tell you people something cool that you do every single day.
That's okay. Well,
you work with animals. You're a vet tech?
Yeah, I'm a vet. Yeah, I'm like a vet tech. My wife's a veterinarian, and I work with her and her dad and her brother and his wife. We all work into their family business.
See, that's some like A&E shit. You can see that shit on, you know, the...
Oh, it could be a reality show. There's always something going on. It's a fun job. You get to see a lot of interesting stuff. I never would have thought 10 years ago. Yeah, I've been bit
since you started helping here.
I've been bit 15, 20 times since I started working, like helping here. Yeah, I get bit all the time. I've been bit in the face. I've been bit in the hands. I've been bit in the back, in the leg. I've been bit in the hands countless times, in the arms. Like,
how many of them were by dogs?
Mostly dogs.
I mean, like animals.
Mostly animals. Yeah. Clients. I've been bit by legit countless animals.
That's crazy.
Before that, we just put out a live at the Monarch. Spencer did play on that. I was right when he joined the band, but we played with the Cody Lee Meese and Logan Henry, who I talked about earlier. But right before that show, I got bit in the finger and it ended up getting infected, and I spent the night in the hospital. Man. Yeah, it was horrible.
Night before Thanksgiving.
It was, yeah. I spent Thanksgiving morning in the hospital, and then the doctor basically is like, if this pus doesn't come out of your finger, like, you're gonna have to come back to the hospital. So my father-in-law, who's a vet, at Thanksgiving dinner, just like, he's like, I'll squeeze it. And he squeezed shit out of my finger, and it like erupted like a volcano.
it was
nasty, but it felt a lot better. And and then I played that show Saturday, and I got lit up to play that show. So if you listen to that recording, like, I had Brennan, who mixed it, cut out all the talking parts, because as it goes on, I start talking slower and slower, because I was lit up to make it through that. I was bandaged up. I had taken, like, they'd give me pain pills and I'd drink some beers. I was fucked up. It was a fun show, and you should definitely listen to that EP, because it was a fun one.
Yeah. Sounds good too. All right, I skip two. I don't like two. Nightmare Gig, that's not my favorite. Three, I do want to know about what you're listening to. That's definitely one of my favorite. Spencer, and you two can't say Emily Jamerson was the last local. Okay, that doesn't count.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that.
All right. Spencer, you want to start the last local, regional, somebody we should know about to listen to?
Last local person was actually a rapper named Otez. And I actually went to middle school with him. His name is Stefan Dillard, I believe, is his last name. But he, his stuff is great. And I also went, to the same middle school with his buddy. That is, I don't know exactly if he's doing just the DJ stuff or if he's also producing too, but their beats, they do them all themselves. I mean, it's killer stuff. Sweet. So he's the last Otez.
Nice. Yeah,
last local guy.
Right on. Good answer.
Yeah, cool. If it's like local to the region, it was Kelsey Walden on the way over, who's from Western Kentucky. She's killer. But if it's local to here, it would be Blind Feline, Oliver Sayani's band. I guess he technically lives in Tennessee, but because he goes to school, but I've listened to him while I was doing some housework yesterday. I love his, that Kentucky Drifter album. I feel like he killed that thing. Like, he talking about producing stuff. He produced that, and it sounds great. And so that was the last local artist I listened to.
He's a gem, dude.
Local band, Banshee. I've been listening to a lot. They're sort of like old school metal, like Black Sabbath sounding kind of thing. And like probably the best live band around.
Nice.
But yeah, they're buds, and I listen to their stuff a lot. So,
Shannon Vetter, that's a friend of mine. Yeah, his new stuff. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty good stuff. Out.
Adding everybody here, I listen to his stuff. everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I listen to these guys all the time at work, just sitting there at work.
Man who supports his people. dig it.
For sure.
I dig it. All right, Earl, for all the listeners, everybody, I guess for everybody, actually, we'll go around the room, tell everybody where that you can be found online, all that stuff, where we can find your music, if you have music out there, where we can find you. Let's start with you, Jason.
That's enough on Facebook and YouTube and SoundCloud.
I guess Spotify and Instagram and stuff are best places to find. I'm always Midnight Villains.
Yeah, all the places. Like all anywhere places. You can listen to music, you can find Earl Bowman. You can just search it the same way on Instagram or any of the social medias, even fucking TikTok. I'm on TikTok. I never really post, but I am on there. I'm way too old to have a TikTok, but it's Earl Bowman Music. You can find me on there. If you follow me, I don't post all that often, so I won't bug you.
And then with me, I have two Instagrams, or really three.
You don't want to hear about your burner account, man.
It's the, I have a luthier account called corbins.customs.guitars. If you look up there, you can hit me up for any type of luthier work. And then my own personal, which is spencer.corbin. You can look that up for, I don't know why you would, but if you want to, you can.
If you just want a hand.
Yeah. Shoot me a DM.
But then also, I am in Neil's band, Johnstone, and you can find that.
There's, I don't think anybody controls that account.
I do.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I've been like posting stuff.
You have? I don't think I follow social media guy.
Yeah, and it's just at Johnstone. And you can, you know, like any of Earl's stuff, like he said, and then any of the Johnstone stuff on Spotify and all that stuff. So,
well, make sure. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Follow Top Hill Recording Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, follow on Instagram, do all that stuff, and we'll see you on the next one.